students and persons to this blessing. Glad I'm saved this morning.
Or is.
I serve a living God, if one can give me anything. I just want him to be in control of my life. I'll be in this moment, I'll pray for this.
Like for him to be in control of my life, that's good. You ever notice a lot of times when people testify, some of the first things they say is, "I love you." Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Because he's done something no one else could do. And the Bible said he loved us before we loved him. He didn't have to do it, but he did. He woke me up this morning and started me on my way. He didn't have to do it, but thank God he did. I met several young women last night, yesterday afternoon, in the morning, whatever. And I knew when it was just little things. Grown, married now. And it's just amazing. Amen. One young man preached. He's his pastor's kin, I think, to Brother Johnny Gabbard. And he got a little girl, almost 12. What was it he said was wrong with her? Was it MS?
I don't know. It's got four or five different words in it.
Well, anyway, she's not right. She's in a wheelchair, and then they get her and sit and see if she needs to go to the restroom.
She can still walk.
Yeah, I noticed that they had like a cloth or a belt somehow pulled with. And she wears a helmet, kind of like what kind of similar to what they ride a bicycle with. And they got a shield coming down so far, and the helmet comes down so far. I guess, told my wife, probably keep from hitting their head, more likely. So it's sad. You know, he said wherever he goes, he tries to get the saints of God to pray for her. So when you pray, remember that God's mercy and mercy be upon her. Good service yesterday, a good service. The presence of the Lord was there, the man preached good. And just glad for God's help and strength. I could say I'm encouraged in God because he helped me pray this morning. God's presence. That means a lot to me. Someone asked a man one time, you know, that wrote, you know, the book Pilgrim Progress, you know, Mr. Bunyan, Brother Bunyan. They said, "How can you, why don't you recant and get out of that little bitty cell?" That ain't no little cell. History says, "Why don't you get out of that little cell?" He said, "Why do I want to leave for it? He comes and meets with me every day. And when he comes and meets me, I think it's good to be here." And I tell you what, it means something to feel his presence. It's good to feel it in church. It's good to be blessed in church. But if you really want to know what you got, if you can pull it down at home, I'll tell you what you got. You'll be able to feel this at home. If only time you feel this when you're in church, something's wrong. Because you'll be able to feel this. And you get along with him. That must have been something to Adam and Eve, and when they walked with God in the cool of the day, then because of sin stopped. I imagine they wished they'd never done what they'd done. But I'm very thankful that God's made a way by the new Adam, a spiritual one.
Yes.
And he's made a way. And you know what? He's trying to give out birth certificates, even today. He's looking for people that want to obtain an inheritance. And I'll tell you what, you know, I was thinking about different ones. Hitler's went on. I thought about that recently, and several other people's went on. And no doubt how many people, Voltaire and Bin Laden, atheists and stuff, that deny him. But you know what? There's no unbelievers in hell. No unbelievers in hell. I wrote some things down. I usually get these taken care of in case of Hispanics' friends come. Brother Arthur has something to go with if the Holy Ghost goes that way. But I was sitting down thinking of things and writing things and studying things. And it says here that Henry Ford said, "Obstacles are those frightening things you see when you take your eyes off your goals," like Matthew 14 and 30. He taught so well today. Wasn't that good? Peter got his eyes off of Jesus and is looking at the circumstances, at the boisterous waves, begin to sink. He overcome his obstacles. Well, I know that it's easy to say, well, you know, he's looking, that's true. How many of you would have got out of the boat? Or why didn't any of the other disciples got out of the boat? He learned a lesson, that's great. Our lesson, Brother Doug, I was reading in between, and it said that, you know, Jesus didn't tell Peter about old little faith till after he got him back up again. Huh? And so nobody else got out of the boat, so I commend him for getting out of the boat. Huh? I tell you, this is real. And I wrote down overcoming obstacles. And that's what I want to try to help us today with. Overcoming your obstacle. I looked up several things I was interested in. Beethoven, remember the great composer, said when he was being taught the violin, he handled the violin awkwardly. Just like, you know, other different ones. My wife plays piano like this, and I played it like this, kind of. And she said, ain't the way to do it, and so I just quit. Because I couldn't get like this, I play like this. But when I noticed several other piano players going like this, and hold that up, and doing different, and then I realized everybody's got their own thing in learning how to play music. And but Beethoven handled the violin very awkwardly, and preferred playing his own compositions instead of proving his technique. You know what his teacher said? He called him hopeless as a composer. Called him hopeless. These things are pretty good till you get by a microphone, isn't it? Boy, I got deaf all of a sudden. Wow. I read about Thomas Edison. His teacher said he was too stupid to learn anything. So I thought, well, I want to know what this Thomas Edison did. He studied and found how electricity works, created the electricity part of the atom, working with it, and the light bulb. He invented film ejectors and a phonograph, you know, like a little record player. He got the noticing that using different types of metal and stuff and using it together, he found out it kind of scratched out a voice like. You know what the first recorded message he put on a record was? Mary had a little lamb. But it said here, his teacher said he was too stupid to learn anything. The trouble with many people is we're not careful when we hit that obstacle. We're not careful. Then we just stop and say, well, it just ain't no way. It just ain't no way it could work. When we're going through a trial with God, we think, Lord, if you don't do it like this, I don't know how I'm going to do it. God knows all kinds of ways to get us out of our problems and our need and our situations. You know what the main part that God wants to help control is? Our wills. I mean, even, you know, even that time when Naaman come over and the man of God would come out and pray for him, remember? He got upset when he sent his servant Gehazi out and said, go over the river Jordan, you know, go under seven times and you'll be made whole. He said, I thought surely he would call upon his God. He would strike his hand together over the place and I'd be healed. You know, different times we look at our obstacles, we're looking for maybe a situation somewhere else, another way. I told you that time about Roger Corn's wife, a good woman, and Brother Jacob Armour's wife. Matta Jean had a heart disease, needed a transplant. Her heart was in bad shape. They're trying to find a donor, couldn't seem to find one, and there she was in that condition. Brother Jacob was going back and forth to the hospital. Stevie, my son, went past it. So he called Stevie different times to come and take his services for him while he was up there. It looked like they were getting worse and worse and worse. She came to a camp meeting where me and my wife was visiting. She was sitting in her husband's truck, you know, and wiping, you know, the sweat off. And they're trying to fan it. She says, "I'm not hot." It was caused by the heart. People was praying. And it just didn't seem like that she could get the deliverance she wanted. She come to where I was pastoring. One of the area pastors said, "You need to go over." I was flattered. He said that about me. But she come and she still didn't get her healing. And it looked like that unless she got the help she needed, she was going to die. Well, it turned out to be that this Sister Corn was at service one night. And God got the blessing her or during the day one. And she felt like going up there and praying for, you know, Sister Maddie Jean. She got up there and prayed for her. And Sister Maddie Jean was kind of like in a coma similar. And she woke up and she got the praise of God. Well, Sister Corn went outside and got to shout right in the hall of that hospital. One of the nurses got very disturbed about it, thought something cracked on her in her head. And so she was trying to find a doctor. And Brother Jacob said, no, it's all right, it's all right. She just being blessed by God. Well, she started coming out, and Brother Jacob had to get $30,000 or $40,000 up front to a hospital since they had no insurance in Atlanta up front to get his wife in there and get help. Well, he decided just go ahead and get the ambulance carried down anyway, so they take her on down there after she was prayed for. Doctor come out, you know, and said, "We can't find nothing wrong with your wife's heart. We can't find no swelling. We can't find that disease in there." Said, "The only thing is her heart's out, a little out of rhythm, and we're going to give her a little shock. And when we do, it's going to cause her heart, you know, to be right." And she'd come to church where we was at before and testified of God's power. Sister Corn is a very quiet woman. You know, I never seen anything about her much in church as far as being out front, you know. But there was something about her that God moved on this dear sister and caused her to go up there and pray for that sister. And God immediately healed her body. That was an obstacle that family was facing. And they said that Thomas Edison was too stupid to learn anything. I read about Albert Einstein. I looked him up. I was curious about it. But it says he did not speak any words until he was 4 years old. And didn't read until he was 7. His teacher described him as mentally slow, unsociable, and adrift forever in his foolish dreams. He was expelled and was refused readmittance to the Zurich Polytechnic School. It was a school of art and science. He was from Germany, born in Germany. He lived from 1879 to 1955. He studied what they call physics. It's the study of the atom. And when he did this, he helped invent the X-ray machine. He studied the laws of electromagnet field that created the electric motors we use today. He helped when he came over here. He was disgusted the way Hitler was doing Germany and the world, so he moved over here. While over here, he went and talked to President Roosevelt and told him that Hitler is trying to develop a missile. I've seen the missile in a encyclopedia at me one time, and it just showed it was so tall, and he was actually learning to have a missile that goes several miles and then explode. He told him he is trying to invent a bomb that will help turn the thing of the war. So Albert Einstein told the president, "I have studied physics. I know how you can make what they call atomic bomb." The president didn't trust him because he's from Germany and we was in a war. So they went to Mexico They got several hundred scientists together, and they took what Einstein told him to do, even though he wouldn't get involved in it, and they created the atomic bomb that was flown over into Japan and bombed two different places. I noticed carefully, it said, when he was 5 years old, he was working with a magnetic compass, you know, north, south, east, and west. And they said at the age of five, if some convinced him, there had to be something behind things, something deeply hidden that would even control the way the magnet works. He was expelled out of the School of Art and Science, and they would not readmit him. What's your obstacle today? What is your zeal today? What is your goal today? Is it reaching out and you're seeing other stuff out there? Or is it just us or myself and no one more? I read a true story about a man, a young man. When his mother was dead, he didn't have nobody to help him. So he got interested in, we need some information here, how to help the young people, you know, see some things and understand some things. And so he went and interviewed close to 800 high school students. He went to experts and studied about getting this in a book form. And so his friends and different ones loaned him a total of $32,000. He slept in his car. He ate in his car. And it just seemed like that he wasn't getting nowhere and he ran out of money. So someone told him to go to people that give you grants on things. Everybody had turned him down. Nobody wanted to help him. Till finally he got with some company and he told him what he was doing. He went to crying, telling them what he was trying to do. It's not for me. It's for helping people understand some things, get in a book form. And finally later this man called him back and told him, said, look, they turned you down, you know, for your $55,000 you want. He said they decided to give you $150,000. And now this thing's in our textbooks across 30-something thousand places that people are using because somebody had a vision, had an obstacle. His mother died, didn't have nobody that comforted, didn't know which way to turn and what, and he knew there had to be something to help people. There are obstacles out there. That's the truth. And I got the notice about Isaac Newton. They call him Sir Isaac Newton. He did very poorly in grade school. He's the one that studied and we understand the laws of gravity. He made the first reflecting telescope. He studied the laws of cooling, the laws of motion, and some of that complicated calculus stuff that you teach that's above algebra and all that. He's the one that invented that stuff and got it going, but he did very poorly in grade school. You know what these men did? They went in and accomplished something that people that were superior to them said there was no way that they could do. I noticed here, Henry Ford failed and went broke 5 times before he finally succeeded. You work for Macy. R.M. H. Macy started in New York. He failed and went bankrupt, now the money 7 times, till he finally got that store going. And now it's got a franchise here and there. He could have stopped that the first time. Henry Ford, after went broke, he could have quit the first time. But when you've got a vision, and you got something there that's telling you something, and dealing you with something, neighbor, Bible said we're ambassadors for Christ. You ever notice you get stirred, get the Holy Ghost moving good in your life? Not careful, you're not careful, your zeal's there, and you decide what you're going to do for God. Oh, Lord, yes, I'm willing. If you're not careful, the enemy comes in, tell you this and that and yonder, tell you why you can't do it, tell you why you're not living right, tells you don't have the Holy Ghost anyway, you're just deceived, tells you don't have the faith. He'll tell you, if God's with you, why won't that prayer answer? Why didn't God move in that situation? God's with you. And before you know it, that zeal and that all you had, you ain't careful, you're back, you're down in it, and now you're looking at yourself again, you're looking at the flesh and at your limitations, your obstacles, instead of looking at the obstacle that God gives. Amen. Brother Keyes, I was talking to him on the phone just a few times here recently, and he told me this. He said, "Preacher, I want to tell you something. If God calls you to do something, God's going to see you through with it. And if God's going to see you through what you're doing, that means God's going to take care of you." He said, "I have proved that." He said, "God will not let his people down." Notice carefully. Winston Churchill failed sixth grade. He did not become Prime Minister of England until he was 62. And then only after a lifetime, the feats and setbacks, his greatest contributions came when he was a senior citizen during the war with Hitler. I found this right here and I wanted to keep it. And I typed this out. It said, "Don't be afraid to fall." It said, "You have failed many times, although you may not remember. You fell down the first time you tried to walk as a baby. You almost drowned the first time you tried to swim." How many knows how to swim? Does anybody remember the first time? You know how I learned to swim? Me and some brethren, we got out by ourselves, and you know where nobody was. We dressed like we dressed, you know. And we went out there. Once I was in the current, and that river strong. They put one man on one side and one man on a raft on the other side, and they put me in between. I said, "Now, try to catch up with one of the others. You'll have to catch up, or I don't know what you're going to do." He said, "Because one's over here, one's over here," and I was let out in the water. Now, I had a choice. I about half drowned, and they'd probably try to get back to me if the current let them, or either I could try to learn how to swim and get to where I was going. It said, "Did you hit the ball the first time you swung a bat?" Notice carefully. Heavy hitters, the ones who hit the most home runs, also strike out a lot. Babe Ruth struck out 1,330 times, and he hit 714 home runs. There was a novelist by the name of English novelist by the name of John Creasy. He got 750 rejection slips from people that, you know, that will help promote your books and all. He got 753 rejections before he published 564 books. And this fix get interesting. I wrote, "Don't worry about failure. Worry about the chances you miss when you don't even try. Experience is not what happens to a man or woman. It's what a person does with what happens to him." And I wrote down three times. And I said, "Yes, you can. Yes, you can." I want you, this is a true story that I wrote, and I want to share with you. Name's William Michael. At the age of 46, a single man, he was in a terrible motorcycle accident and was burned beyond recognition. Then, 4 years later, was paralyzed from the waist down in an airplane crash. After two horrible accidents, it left his face a quilt of multicolored by the skin grafts. His hands were fingerless, his legs thin and motionless in a wheelchair. After the motorcycle accident caused by that, he had 16 surgeries. Burned 65% of his body was burned up. When he got burned by the motorcycle catching fire and all, you couldn't even tell who he was. And Michael said that it left him unable to pick up a fork, to dial a telephone, couldn't go to the bathroom without help. His name is Mitchell. Mitchell said he never believed he was defeated. He said, "This is my up and down." He said, "I could choose to see this as a setback, or it could be a starting point." 6 months later, he was piloting a plane again. He bought a home in Colorado. He got together with two friends, and they got together and they formed a business. They formed a wood-burning stove business that grew to be the second largest employer in Vermont. He was elected mayor of Crested Butte, Colorado. despised his shocking looks. He fell in love and got married. He earned a master's degree in public administration. He has appeared on the Today Show and Good Morning Show. Listen to what this man says. He said he focused on what he can do and not what he can't do. He focused on what he can do and not what he can't do. I've learned years ago, I'll never be a Don Rich, a Neil Bridges. I'll never be what some of these other ministers are. I don't focus on that. I focus on what I can do. It may be very little, may not help everybody, but I'm doing what little I know I could do. And I know when I get down to pray, shed tears, fasting, reading the Bible, different things that I do, and I get up, like right down that very high, and after I felt the presence of God praying, I'm here doing what I know that I could do on my part. And I may never be the guitar player you are. There's guitar players I looked at that I like to learn how to do some of that stuff. And it's my own fault because I don't take the time to discipline myself. But I have learned enough through some of the discipline. My teacher told my mother, "That boy is so stupid, he'll never play no kind of instrument. That is a dumb boy." That's what she told my mother. Well, I'm not the best player, but I can play Chet Atkins style. And I can pick and play lead on six strings where I'm happy enough. I may not be able to do what everybody else could do. And I don't dwell on that. Like Mr. Mitchell, I dwell on what I can do. He says, "I tell people I have had two big bumps in life. A motorcycle accident, lost all my fingers, didn't see none of his thumbs. You know, burned his face till he was just an ugly looking thing to see. But he fell in love, woman fell in love with him." I'm going to tell you, the Bible said beauty is vain and favor is deceitful. We like to find someone beautiful we love, and that's all right. But somebody fell in love with this man, not what he was on the outside, but what he was on the inside. My wife tells me, she says, "I know I'm ugly," talking about herself. I said, "Pat, you're beautiful." To me, she's not only beautiful on the outside, but that inside is great and gorgeous. He said, "When I had them two big bumps in life, if I have not chosen to use them as an excuse to quit." He said, "It's maybe some of the experiences you are having now, which are pulling you back, can be put into a new perspective." Here's what he said to do. He said, "You can step back, take a wider view, and have a chance to say, maybe that isn't such a big deal after all." He said, "Remember, it's not what happens to you, it's what you do about it." I wrote this down. I wrote down, "It is the power of determination." It is the power of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, where faith is the substance of things hoped for, the other things not seen. For Doug, I may be looking at that scripture wrong, but I was reading one time and the Spirit of God came by. You ever do that when you read? And just come to me, "Your substance is found in the Word of God." My faith and my hope is in this. If there's no written, no promise, how can I have hope and faith in it? But faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I wrote this down. It's the power of optimism. I thought, well, what is optimism? I've heard people say it. It means to anticipate the best outcome for your situation or problem. Optimism. Yes, I'm going through. Yes, this is happening. But you don't look at the worst. You look at the best source of outcome and you think of the best thing. You encourage yourself, but David's wives was taken, children taken, all his crops, his animals taken, livestock, his place was burned up, and there he was, didn't know exactly what to do, but David decided to call upon God. And the Bible said David encouraged himself in the Lord. The situation
brought the ephod, and he got the priest to say, shall I pursue or not? And God said, prevail. You pursue, for you shall prevail.
Overcoming your obstacles. Sister Hannah felt like she told me and Patty that she's slow to learn. Just like I told you, talked about, you know, these other men. She was afraid she wasn't going to get nowhere in college. She made the dean list, the number one in that class. She'd come over to the house and, you know, be with me and Patty. Sometimes Brother Aaron would come too, and she'd be worried about things, you know, about her go out and take tests and stuff, just like this sister. Some of the stuff, man, I can't believe some of the stuff. I can't even pronounce it. I don't spell it. And she had to know how to pronounce all this different medicine, different stuff, and also tell what it means. How'd you do on that thing? You pass it? Mercies, God bless it, see? But see, when you had obstacles in your life, and as it seemed like nothing was going on, just like you had an obstacle, there you was, faithfully paying your tithes and your offerings, and it just didn't seem like you'd go nowhere, faithful to the house of God, and it just looked like they're discouraged, their finances, and just one thing after another, but God came through and blessed and helped him. Neighbor, I'm here to tell you, we can overcome our obstacles. The difference, I told you this some time back, the difference between an ordinary man and a warrior is that a warrior takes everything as a challenge, but an ordinary man takes everything either as a blessing or as a curse. What are you going to do with your life? You're going to take it like a warrior and say, I'm going to fight this, I'm going to battle, I'm going to win. Or are you going to just say, well, it's either God or devil. It don't look like I got no choice. Ain't nothing going to happen to this. I tell you, things can happen and things can change. Oh, I read this here in Psalms. I wanted a verse so bad to go along with this thought. And so it come to me, Psalms chapter 48. So I said, well, I'll just read Psalms 48. And at the last verse 14, it said, for this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our God even unto death. So for this God is our God. Can I like to tell you, this God is my God. This God said, I will be with you, and said here, forever and ever, he's going to be my God, my leader, direct me even unto death, neighbor. We can overcome our obstacles. You know what hinders God? It's the way we believe. It's the way we see things. As a man thinketh, so is he. Neighbor, don't think defeat. Think victory. Think power. Think overcoming. And don't look at the obstacle like Peter did, but look farther than that, neighbor. Look at the one that's above the obstacle. First time Steve was ever in a plane, I thought it was amazing. They have already shut down several airports, had a bad storm going. I don't know if they had a hurricane, but tornadoes, but it was real bad. They put him on one of their prop planes. You know, that's not one of them. You know, instead of one of those big jets, he was one of them that had like two propellers on each side. And he called us, and somehow he was able to get in touch with us back when we was living. Where were we living at that time, Pat? I forget. Maybe in South Carolina, where. But anyway, he called us, and he was scared. He said, the plane has got some little drops. And he said, it drops before you know it. When it does, the luggage overhead's coming down. People's crying, people's screaming, and people, they're scared. And he put the blind down. Sherry said, his wife said, he put the blind down. And then before you know it, he'd look it up. She said, why don't you leave it down? It's scaring you. And you can see just, you know, that their wings just are shaking, you know, the plane. You know, and so they go to Mississippi and Oklahoma to preach. So he turned around, and pilot turned around and went back to where they come from. When they did, they got him in one of the big jets. He got one of the big jets, and he called back. He said, you know what? I said, what? He said, you know, this prop plane we was on, it couldn't get above the storm. He said, but you know what? I found out while we was in this big jet, we was up there high above. You could see the dark clouds and the storm below. But he said, when we was at, the sun was shining bright. And he said, the storm below us and everything's peaceful on top. That's what God does, neighbor. How would you like to be in a motorcycle accident and just burn your face? And I've seen people burn before. I've seen the different colors of their skin and how it messed them up. And then there he is. I don't know if he had any thumbs or not. I guess he did. I don't know if it said just fingers.
And there he was in that condition. Then 4 years later, thank God he's alive after he had the plane accident. Who in the world would want somebody like that? Who in the world would fall in love with somebody? What good is it now? He's, you know, he's messed up, nothing to look forward to, just in pitiful condition. But ever this man decided he was going to take what he had and he was going to do something with it. He was going to do something about it. I'll tell you, I may have a mom and daddy that may not be right with God yet, but I'm here to tell you, amen, this morning, just like last night, and just like this yesterday morning, and the morning after that, I'm calling my mom's name out. I'm calling my daddy's name out. I'm asking God, please don't let him die lost. Let that old time conviction, amen, that you used to work a lot, come again. And every time before in my prayer, I'm always praying for this little thing right here. I said, God, I don't know who's a dead, and I don't know who's still alive in there. But God, I'm asking you some way, somehow, God, to intervene and do something about it. You can look at your obstacles out of every mouth or nothing. You know, stuff like that. But or either you can look above the storm, look above the obstacle, and realize the sun's a shining. And what Stevie's problem is, he didn't have the proper machine to be in to get him above the storm. But when he got the proper equipment to get in, it put him above where he needs to be. And when he did, he found out that storm ain't so bad after all. I'm above it. Everything's peaceful up there. No luggage falling down. No drop from the plane. Plane ain't shaking. Everything's going good now.
What about it? What about your life? I looked up. He said, Jesus, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, but go with thee always where? You know, to the end of the world. Tell you, he's got what we have need of.
Yes.
I remember they told you, because a lot of times the preacher and pastor, well, I thank you, tells you, heard before. We had a young man named, young boy named Dylan, who's probably about 19 years old. His mother name was Kim. She worked in Nicoya, Georgia, at the hospital as a nurse. But she lived in South Carolina, not far from where we pastored. Well, it turned out to be that her son got a knot come up on his neck somewhere. And it was serious enough that the doctor wanted that child to come in pretty quick. And they was going to operate, take a biopsy and see what it was, because something about it wasn't right. He was supposed to have went to the hospital that Thursday or Friday. But it turned out to be, I don't know why, but where she was going to go, the insurance she had wouldn't work at that certain place. But they had, her husband had insurance, she had insurance. Well, it didn't look like it was doing no good for her. But she was scared, naturally, and Chris is kind of a nervous type man. Her husband got saved, her name got saved, Dylan got saved there at the church. But that night, she brought him up for prayer. And when she brought him up for prayer, the saints, we gathered together anointing that child with oil. And do you know, by the time Monday come around, do you know that thing had completely left that child's neck? God had completely healed that and took that away, that they didn't need the doctor. Brother Lloyd Dixon went to that church his hat before I got there. He was in the World War II. He, for some reason, when he sat on his behind, great pain went through him. His mama made him he said even when he would drive some of the trucks that our infantry had, he just cried her so bad. And his mama made him a special cushion we could drive with, and you know, he'd run a bulldozer, and just when he got back and stuff, and he'd hurt her. But one particular time he went to church and he was suffering. And he was going up the steps of the church. It was like about 5-6 steps. And he said, something told him, tonight you're going to be healed. He said he went up the steps. And when he did, he decided to go in and sit down. And when he did, there was a man there that had never been to that church before. And this man was preaching. He stopped this preaching. He said, church, he said, I don't usually do this, but for some reason, this evening, I feel like calling it a healing line. If you want healed. Brother, Lord went up there and got prayed for. The man didn't know what his problem was. And when he went, them seats wasn't padded either. I pastored that church. When he went and sat down, he noticed, this is different. Cushion out on a wood bench. I ain't hurt no more. And some come back to him. I said, I told you tonight, you was going to be healed. We never know. It's easy as humans to be discouraged. But can I tell you one thing? When I read that true story about that man's life and what he decided to make out of his life and do something, that gave me courage. And I decided I can overcome my obstacles too. And I don't know what every one of you is facing this morning. I don't know. I don't know what your prayer requests are. Your needs, I have no idea. But can I tell you this? You can overcome the obstacle that's in your life. And you can become what God wants you to become. If you are willing for Him, like Brother Benny said, put your will in His will and let Him control your life. You can be sent for God. Come and sing that song again. I thought about what you were singing it this morning. Anybody got any obstacles? Believe God can move obstacles in your life? I believe He can. By the way, don't forget, this coming Tuesday night, Brother Lester Johnson and his wife in revival with us starting 7:30 Tuesday night, this coming week. Thank you, Jesus.
What you took away.
at the Potter's house, where there's 187 men there. He preached on God's power. He said that night, he said, "Would anybody like to pray?" They lined up from the front outside the door where 100 men went in prayer. One man was a man that stuttered so bad he was trying to tell Stevie what his needs was, and Stevie couldn't understand what he was trying to say. Stevie said they prayed over those 100-something men. And then one Sunday, like you got about 16, I think, was coming today in this church, fixing up. And he said, "Right over there, if you're standing here," he was over on this side. Stevie's got three rows of churches on that side. Man said, "Do you remember me?" Stevie said, "No, I don't think I do." He said, "You remember that guy trying to tell you what his needs was and he couldn't talk?" Stevie said, "Yes." He said, "I can talk as plain as any of you, man. Those men over there places made fun of me because I couldn't talk." He said, "I want God so bad to give me a voice that didn't stutter." And Stevie said, that day that man gave a testimony of the healing power of Almighty God that you understand, and never at one time, the first time, did he say. That was an obstacle. We like to come and pray. I'm human and I've learned I've got needs, and God's got to help me.